Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Moncrief on News Talk.
That's The Day of the Jackal. New episodes every Thursday on Sky Atlantic, and it's streaming on Now TV. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
Now, the original book, I think, was assassinating a French president, so which would have been in the 70s, so I assume they've updated it.
Very much so, right? So this time around, I mean, I'm only familiar with the original by like title only. And I think it was remade in the 90s with Bruce Willis at some point, but like I couldn't tell you much about it. And this time around, we get a version of it from Ronan Bennett, who is a Belfast-born author first and then later showrunner. His kind of biggest credit to date is as the showrunner of Top Boy, which is kind of like a gangster drama set in the UK, which is very well received, but one of those things I've just never seen. And here we get him pairing up with Eddie Redmayne as the eponymous The Jackal, an assassin of incredible skill and ability and impeccable wardrobe. And I'm always struck by these things, by like how not only can he shoot from miles away, that they're always admiring his prowess with a rifle, but he's pretty handy with like a makeup brush and a wig styling, you know, head as well, because we get a bit of camp costuming going on as well here. So in the opening episode, he takes out a German kind of far-right politician. And this catches the attention of MI6 in the shape of Lashana Lynch as Bianca, an agent who wants to track him down. And people will know her from, I think, the last two Daniel Craig Bond movies, where she became 007 for a while. And was so MI6, she fits very comfortably into the MI6 role, shall we say. So all in, it's a game of cat and mouse between the pair of them, where he is doing his various assassining and she is tracking him down. And what I will say is kind of a little bit odd was, you know, when I saw it, the delivery mechanism of this on Apple or on Sky Atlantic, rather, is they dumped the first five episodes. And my initial thought with that was, oh, right, okay, so they've dumped the first five and the sixth and finale now is coming on Thursday. But actually, it was the first five of 10. So there are another 4 weeks of this to go beyond this. And my biggest criticism of it so far is it can feel a little plodding at time. Now, it is very up and down. When it is good, it is really, really excellent. And I want to absolutely praise to the highest level its action sequences, because they are thrilling, varied, exciting, even though, I mean, I say varied, but ultimately they involve a lot of long-distance shooting. but they really amp up all the different ways in which one could shoot someone from afar. And Eddie Redmayne carries the physicality of the role very, very, very well. You know, and it's kind of a tricky role for him in the sense that he spends most of his time either in heavy prosthetics or a lot of it kind of staring at a laptop screen and emoting with fury or rage or delight or whatever while looking at like a few lines of text. So all in, he has a lot to do here in quite a sparing speaking part. But credit to him where it's due. He spends a lot of it speaking in foreign languages, and to my very trained ears in that field, he does it with real aplomb. Also, because Ronan Bennett is from Belfast himself, we can see that he has taken a few liberties with the source text and relocated part of the story into a little subplot involving the Troubles and involving kind of gun running in the Troubles. And all of that is kind of interesting and well put together. But I have to admit, it feels a little bit stretched at times, right? So there is a subplot also involving the Jackal's de facto wife. She's played by the Spanish actress Ursula Corberó, who people will know from Money Heist. She's quite a big star in the Spanish-speaking world. And to say she has the kind of typical and wife story, which is at home worrying about her husband, where is he, why isn't he with Carlito, their little child, even though she's living in this mansion in Cadiz. To be honest, I think she could just go for a swim instead. But she gets a bit sidetracked, really, as the kind of put-upon wife. And we have a bit of balance as well, equally, in Lashana Lynch's family life. She, you know, she's married to her job, shall we say, and the person she's married to isn't too fond of that. And I think kind of double jobbing with that storyline feels a little unnecessary. I mean, you know, do we really need to rehash that thing twice within the same show? Probably not. But as I said, when it is good, it is fantastic. It's like stylish and chic. It's thrilling. Your heart will be in your mouth, edge of your seat kind of stuff. It's just when you're back in your seat, it's a bit meh.
Do they explain who he does when he's going around the world assassinating people? Does it explain who he's doing the assassinating for?
Yes. So that's a bit of a, yeah, there's kind of a little... So right at the very beginning, we have him, you know, taking out this German far-right leader. And there is a payoff to that about who is hiring him. And he's also getting hired for other jobs. So he has this, shall we say, dark web reputation as the assassin du jour of the world. And people definitely want to pay him. And there's a whole, his kind of season arc target, shall we say, is a kind of Elon Musk-esque type. He's played by the guy, his name in the show is Eladag Charles, but he's played by Khalid Abdal, who people will know as Dodi Al-Fayed from the most recent seasons of The Crown. And he's a kind of benevolent, quote-unquote benevolent tech bro who wants to release this program that is going to shine a light on all of the illegal financial dealings of the rich and powerful in the world. And frankly, they do not want that. So that is why they're hiring him. That's no spoiler at all. That's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
But all in, yeah, we have a sense of who's hiring him because of the plot. They definitely declare all of that outright.
Yeah, and do you have sympathy for the jackal as well as Bianca, who's trying to find him?
Yeah, I mean, yes, and like what I say is they play it correctly in the sense that a show like this can't be just pure serious all the time. I mean, the jackal is a human being, definitely. He is, he has the kind of, you know, you can see that he feels things. He's not some emotionless killing Terminator machine, right? He is, you know, he's got a family life back home that he wants to support. He seems to be already pretty rich, so kind of, he, you know, it's a real one last score, one last job kind of show, and I'm kind of going, I think you're all right already, to be honest with you, but I guess I don't work in the high stakes world of illegal dark web assassination attempts, so I don't know an awful lot about this. But yes, he is, you know, there are jokes, there's humor definitely played throughout. And certainly, it isn't just all serious, po-faced shooting. There's definite mirth and humor threaded through as well.
Right, we'll move on to our next show of the day. It is Junior Taskmaster. That's on Fridays at 8 p.m. on Channel 4. Here's a clip.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Nayara. How
What's
are you?
What's this hat of yours? It's too tall.
Do you like it?
No. What is going on?
Hello, Pleasure.
Hello. This is unusual. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ruben. How are you?
Doing good.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello, Liza. Hello, Anita.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Good.
Get the most different things in Mike's hat.
You must not step on the red green.
Most things in Mike's hat wins. You have 8 minutes. Your time starts now. Now, what can I put in there?
Is there a cut in your hat?
All the information's in the task.
It says, get the most different things in Mike's hat.
Yeah.
You must not step on the red green.
Right, so is this just Taskmaster, but with children?
Essentially, yes, right? And kind of why it is of note here is because of just the huge success that Taskmaster has become, right? So Alex Horn invented Taskmaster. It started on Dave, you know, a digital channel in the kind of Sky family, shall we say. And it became such a hit for them that Channel 4 bought the rights to it and now are producing, I think, probably 2 seasons of the show a year. We're already up, I think, to 18 seasons. And in addition to that, it has an international success. Some versions haven't quite taken off. The US had 1 season only, Germany had a pilot only. But in other parts of the world, it has been running for 4 or 5 years with more seasons to come. I think 13 international versions exist of it as well. And on top of that, there's tie-in games. There's even a live Taskmaster experience in London, I think, if you want as an adult to go and practice your Taskmaster skills for a cost of £50 a head. So Alex Horn is doing absolutely fine. And here, I suppose Channel 4 approached him and said, why not make a family-friendly version of the show, which airs at 8 p.m. on a Friday night at a more family-friendly slot, I guess, than 9 p.m. when the children are tucked up in bed. And what is slightly different is obviously the usual format of the show is that you have a group of comedians and actors and they spend 10... Well, we spend 9 weeks with them across 10 shows and they're playing in a competitive league. Whereas here, we have different children each week and the top two progress to a semi-final. And then I guess the top five will progress to the ultimate final. Because I guess there are more strict labor laws on what you can do with children and filming and getting them out of school and things like that, right? So all in, a show like this lives and dies on how well it casts its children. And I mean, we see something similar akin to this every December or November with the Late Late Toy Show. You want kind of precocious Muppet who will be endearing and not annoying. And that's harder to do than you would immediately think, especially when you're looking for multiples of five each week. And the taskmaster himself, Greg Davis, has been replaced, as has Alex Horn. This time it's Rose Mataveo, who people will know from Taskmaster. She was second on her season. And Mike Wozniak, also a second place runner-up as well, who played the role of taskmaster and assistant. Now, obviously, a kind of thing about Taskmaster is it's very arch, right? So Greg Davis is absolutely not afraid to take the piss out of anyone on the show. That's part of the charm. He's kind of mean but funny and at it. And you have to tread a more delicate line, it being mean with children, because it could go south very, very, very quickly and tears could happen live on an audience stage while they're watching. However, I would imagine the children who are involved in this have seen the show, because Taskmaster is kind of, look, I mean, it's made for adults, but I think it's relatively family friendly. I suppose there's a bit of bad language here and there and perhaps a bit of adult humor, quote unquote. But all in, it's a show about doing silly little escape room-esque tasks that I feel a family could, you know, a family with certainly older children could sit down and watch quite happily. So I could see how there is a market for this, because what child wouldn't love to do a kind of escape room silliness on TV? And I found it very, very charming for what it is.
Yeah, but not as good as Taskmaster.
Not as good as Taskmaster, but to be honest, I love Taskmaster. So any kind of little substitute to Taskmaster is fine. Like, to me, it's a bit like Junior Bake Off, right? I watched Junior Bake Off when it first aired to talk about on this slot. And have I watched a single episode since? No. Am I happy it's out there? Yes, for the children that are in it, but some children should be, you know, I don't need to be watching children doing this all day, every day. But I don't have a young family. If you had a young family, I could see how you would maybe happily sit down for an hour and watch this together.
Okay, so it's good for other people. Right. our third show is Until I Kill You. You can stream all episodes now on Virgin Media Player. Here's a clip.
That's real. Any funny business and I'll kill you. And Leah too. I know where she lives. I've looked in your address book.
EMT outpatient reception.
Leah, it's Delia.
Where are you? You okay?
Yeah, I've been sick as a dog. I've had food poisoning.
Food poisoning? John said your nan was sick.
Family emergency. No, he's just being silly. My nana died years ago.
Is John there now?
No.
Right, so this is a true crime job?
Very much so. This is a true crime drama. It's made by a guy named Nick Stevens, who has a lot of skin in this kind of game. He's made previous other true crime dramas for ITV as well. The Pembrokeshire Murders, In Plain Sight, all have been fairly well received. And arguably, this is the one that's been best received. So it's based on a autobiography written by a survivor named Delia Balmer, who's kind of a mercurial character, to say the least, in the sense that she's not your atypical victim. She's not a particularly likable person. She's very much an acquired taste. She's direct to the point of rude at times to the people she interacts with. She's very, very by the book, straightforward, calls you out on anything she wants and is a bit out there. And into her life in the early 90s, she crossed paths with a man named John Sweeney, who turned out to be a serial killer. And at one point, he had her kidnapped, he had her sequestered in the house that the apartment they were sharing. And she spent 4 days worrying, you know, was this the end of her life? Ultimately, to escape. And the drama starts stars Anna Maxwell-Martin, an actress many people will know from Motherland, probably best of all, but she has starred in many other dramas, won a BAFTA at one point for Bleak House, probably about 20 years ago, I'd say at this point. And All In, it's a very interesting role for her because, as I said, she plays this, you know, kind of unlikable victim, but yet our sympathies are immediately with her. And what's interesting in the drama is it really explores how a brush with a serial killer, which obviously is rare, you know, thank God, but how something like that could really impact the rest of your life and how the justice system might well let you down, even though you are the totally innocent party. You know, she plays this role with great kind of frankness, honesty. You watch her, you know, at times, you know, giving evidence in the Old Bailey, completely and utterly breaking down in fury and anger. And Maxwell Martin absolutely has that to a T. She is really, really, really excellent. It does also get sidetracked a little bit. So John Sweeney committed a couple of his murders in Central Europe. So we have running through the four episodes, we have this kind of subplot involving the Dutch police typing away at a computer. It's a bit like The Jackal, but less stylish and less well put together, typing at a computer going, oh yeah, culprit not found, until eventually he is. And I guess they wanted to include that bit because that's his MO as a serial killer, but it doesn't really add to the drama. But All In, if you're looking for a very worthwhile and interesting addition to kind of true crime, this is well worth your watching.
Okay, those three shows are The Day of the Jackal, new episodes every Thursday on Sky Atlantic. It can also stream on Now TV. Junior Taskmaster, that's on Fridays at 8 p.m. on Channel 4. And Until I Kill You, you can stream all episodes now on the Virgin Media Player. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.